Moncrief on News Talk.
10 years ago this month, it became mandatory for all dogs in this country to be microchipped. So did it succeed? And does the scheme require further tweaking to make it more effective? Conor Dowling is chief executive of the NSPCA. Good afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon.
I know this sounds like a stupid question, but why was the measure brought in the first place?
Well, it's brought in for a number of reasons. First and foremost, to identify dogs so that they can be reunited if lost. Also to be identified if somebody maybe hasn't looked after them and they're found in a poor condition, somebody be held accountable. Or also if dogs are involved in sheep rearing or attacks on livestock, they can then be identified and the owner identified and they can be held accountable. So it's all about traceability and accountability and responsibility. And all of those things make people more likely to be responsible dog owners.
Mm. Now, there's a difference though between having a microchip and a license, a dog license. Are they two different arms of the state that don't really talk to each other?
They are a bit. They came under two government departments up until recently, in that the control of dogs and dog licensing that was under the Control of Dogs Act, which was brought in 1986, and that sat under the Department of Rural and Community Development up until quite recently. Whereas the microchipping regulations were brought in under the Animal Health and Welfare Act, which was under the Department of Agriculture. Now, so there was a disconnect there. Now, just the last few months, responsibility for policy and legislation for dog control has moved to the Department of Agriculture. So we're hopeful that we'll see more joined up thinking there and a more combined approach across the board.
Yeah. Now, in terms of enforcement for the microchipping, whose responsibility is it to put a microchip into a puppy?
Well, that's up to the breeder.
Yeah.
So if you breed a litter of puppies, that puppy needs to be microchipped before it leaves the premises from where it was bred. And the only exception to that is it can be brought to the vet to be microchipped and vaccinated. So when that leaves the premises, it should be microchipped. And then they would take the seller would take the details of the buyer, and then they would notify the database of their intention to pass ownership of the dog to this person. But then it's up to the buyer to complete that process, to contact the database and get the dog transferred into their name. And far too often that doesn't happen.
I suppose it's like doing the NCT in a car nowadays. You kind of do all that online when you change ownership. And why don't they do that? Why don't enough people do that? Have they not been told they need to do it?
I'd say to some extent people aren't aware. People just don't think about it. These things fall through the gaps. They don't think about it. And then there's also an element that don't want to be responsible and accountable. So they don't want this dog linked to them if something goes wrong.
Yeah. And equally, if your dog dies, you're supposed to put that into the database as well.
Yeah, you should notify the database. And, you know, it can be a very emotional time for people if they lose their dog. Mm. And it's not first and foremost on their mind. Oh, I must notify that database that the dog is no longer with us. So maybe an idea would be that the databases would contact people annually to check, are you still in this possession of the dog? Is the dog still alive? And then update the records accordingly.
Yeah. Now, they say the official figures are around 100,000 dogs a year are microchipped.
Yeah.
Are you completely confident in that figure?
Well, there was reportedly 700,000 between 2017 and 2023, 700,000. Now, that sounds like a lot.
Mm.
But the problem is that we don't know how many dogs there are in the country. There has been a suggestion to be on the census. There's been an application that would be included on the census, and that's something we would very much support. Some estimates put the population dogs in the country at 500,000, but it could be far in excess of that. In the last census, there was 1.8 million households in the country. So all it takes is for every second house to have one dog,
yeah,
and you're up at 900,000. So we think it's probably a lot higher than that. So if you look at that figure, then it starts to come into perspective about, does it represent the total number? And, you know, on the face of it, 700,000, it sounds like a lot, but there must be a compliance. And there probably is broad compliance from the majority of the population who go along with all the rules. But from our experience and from statistics, it's only about a third of dogs entering the pound system are microchipped. And the number of dogs that my inspectorate colleagues would remove, either seized or surrendered, the number of them microchipped is probably closer to 0% than 34%. So it's not hitting home with the people who are less likely to be responsible, less likely to look after the dog, and less likely to make sure the dogs aren't straying.
Mm. And what's the enforcement situation? Or is there one?
That's the problem. At the moment, it is a criminal offence not to have your dog microchipped. And as authorised officers under the Animal Health and Welfare Act, theoretically, if we talk to somebody and their dog isn't microchipped, you could compile a file and submit it for prosecution through the district court. It's not a proportionate response for what is, at the end of the day, quite a technical offence. So why we would sometimes have people prosecuted along with other animal welfare offences for not having the dog microchipped, taking a standalone prosecution isn't appropriate. So what we need to see is a mechanism whereby fixed penalty notices can be issued. So that if an authorised officer or a dog warden, if they were enforcing the legislation, weren't to encounter a dog that wasn't microchipped, they can serve the owner with a fixed penalty notice, which if not paid could result in a prosecution.
Yeah, and is it a similar situation for dog licences?
Well, currently there is such a situation for dog licences. Normally what a dog warden would do is if they come across somebody, they have a dog, it's not licensed, they would give them what's termed a 10-day notice. So that gives them 10 days to have the dog licensed. And then the dog warden would contact the local authority and they would monitor that address to see if any such application came in within 10 days. If not, then they issue a fine. And if that fine isn't paid, then it's open to them to instigate proceedings.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my sense is that for dog wardens anyway, the vast majority of cases where they come across unchipped dogs are in scenarios where there's a much greater degree of mistreatment of animals going on. Would that be right?
Well, the dog wardens would be enforcing the dog, the Control of Dogs Act. So you'd probably find a lot of crossover between dogs that are not licensed and not microchipped. I think
you're
protected to get both of them. Not exclusively. I mean, some people do recognise the value of having their dog microchipped because if it goes missing, they can be reunited, but they don't necessarily want to pay for the licence on top of that. But what we would like to see is that the dog wardens would be in a position to enforce both aspects at the same time to ensure compliance.
Yeah, yeah. And puppy farms in Ireland, is that still a big issue?
It is an issue. There's dog breeding establishments, as they're referred to, who are covered by the Dog Breeding Establishments Act, and that applies to any premises where there is six or more female dogs which are capable of breeding. And the numbers of those, there's around about, last count, 70-odd commercial dog breeding establishments registered with, you know, up to, in the highest case, 300 breeding females on site. And there's a couple of others around the 100 mark, and then most are less than that. But, you know, dog breeding on that scale and contributes to a bigger overall problem with dog ownership in Ireland. And we feel that overall as a country, we're not being responsible enough. We're not having our dogs neutered or ensuring they don't produce puppies. There's still an attitude prevalent that she needs to have one litter of pups in her lifetime. That's not the case. Mm. There sort of can be medical reasons not to have your dog neutered, and your vet can guide you on that. But the default position should be, I'll have my dog neutered so it doesn't produce pups, which are then contributing to the overall problem.
Yeah. But would we have a disproportionate amount of these dog breeding centres?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's more prevalent here. I think what we've seen in the UK over the years is, or certainly in Britain, they've made it more and more difficult for people to breed dogs. But that has created a vacuum because they're not producing enough puppies in Britain. So therefore they import them either from Ireland or even more so from Eastern Europe, which creates another welfare issue in that these puppies are then be subjected to transport and the stress attached to that. And that's a welfare matter as well.
Yeah. So but mostly these places would be legal and regulated in as far as we regulate these things in Ireland.
There's a mixture of both. You know, there are those that are registered and they are inspected and they're required to comply to certain standards. We feel that the standards should be higher and that the enforcement should be more stringent. But at the same time, we're also coming across places all the time which aren't registered, illegal. We could call them puppy farms. They're churning out puppies.
Yeah.
They haven't registered with the local authority. They're not complying with the standards they should.
And then if you're running an illegal operation, how can you go through all the stages of breeding dogs and people wouldn't, you know, nearby would notice that, and then exporting them? And get away with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there is a certain backdoor out of this country in the fact that we have an open border up the north, because the north is part of the UK and you can bring puppies from one part of the UK to the other. There's certain requirements regarding microchipping, but they don't have to be vaccinated in the same way as they do if we're coming from the Republic of Ireland to Britain. So what we're seeing is that some transporters we know are coming in through the southern ports, collecting puppies as they go, and then they go out through Belfast. And it's portrayed that they're just coming from Northern Ireland, and that's where the puppies are coming from.
Ah, right. And just going back finally to the chips themselves, how are they placed inside a dog, and do they last a lifetime?
Yeah, they're injected under the skin, the back of the neck. You have to be trained and registered to be an implanter of microchips, and there's certain restrictions on that. But yeah, they go into under the skin and they're there for life. And we carry scanners, dog wardens have scanners. A lot of Garda stations even nowadays have scanners, and we advocate for all of them having scanners. And you just run it over, picks up the chip, you can access a database if you're an authorised officer. And for me and my colleagues, we can know within minutes who the owner is.
Yeah.
Or the registered owner, whether that's up to date or not is another matter.
Yeah, indeed. But it lasts a lifetime. They don't normally need to be replaced. Conor, thanks a million for coming in and speaking with us today. That was Conor Dowling there, Chief Executive of the NSPCA.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.